You're listening to the Hockey 411 podcast with your host, Brian Anderson. Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 podcast presented by SeatGeek. Use the code THEHOCKEY411 for $20 off your first purchase. This week we are talking Pittsburgh Penguins. Josh Yoey from The Athletic makes his first appearance on the show. Josh, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to talk about this Pens team here because it just feels like every single day it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and really starting to see the end fall out here for this Pens team. Because a couple years ago, you could tell yourself, be like, I could see them trying to cobble it together, make playoffs, and still continue on that road along here and just kind of be this, you know, 500 team sneak into the playoffs. But the bottom is really starting to fall out here. And as someone who covers the team day in and day out, I'm sure the vibes around the room right now are tough. I mean, you look at some of the pictures from last night's game against Winnipeg. Seats are starting to be a little empty here. What is the overall mood here in Pittsburgh? Because I'm sure it's not a good one.
Boy, it's not good. The team is no good, and the fan base knows it. You mentioned the empty seats. That has become a real problem in Pittsburgh this season, and it's never been a problem. The Penguins recently had a run of 15 years where they had nothing but sellouts every single game. And for instance, last night, Winnipeg, the best team in the NHL, is in town. It's a Friday night, and the Penguins have 3,000 unsold tickets. It's a great fan base, but it's also a spoiled fan base. For the last 40 years, almost exclusively, you got Lemieux or Yager or Crosby or Malkin. They expect not only great hockey, but they expect to be entertained. And this team stinks right now, and it's kind of boring. And no, the vibes in the locker room are not good. I saw the look on Crosby's face after a game a few days ago against Tampa, and he looked like he was in the middle of a nightmare. He's never been on a bad team before. I guess his rookie year, maybe that was it. So this is kind of a foreign feeling for him. And Crosby, Malkin, these guys know what a great team looks like, and they know this isn't a great team. So I'm sure it's probably hard for them to find the motivation right now when they realistically know this team's going nowhere. It's just a bad, bad hockey team, and they find ways to lose. You know, they've blown a 2-0 lead. I think it's five times. Like, I think they've lost five games when they've had a 2-0 lead out of their first 22 games. It's unbelievable. They just can't do anything right.
I want to start off here with management, and then we'll get on to the on-ice product here as the show moves along. Kyle Dubas, Mike Sullivan, he really got the work cut out for him here. And Kyle Dubas comes in. He's tasked with probably one of the hardest jobs, maybe outside of Toronto with all the pressure from the media, but one of the hardest jobs to navigate here because you have to keep them contending with an aging core here, and that's never difficult to do. That said, some of the moves he has made have been question marks. I think I wasn't a huge fan. You can go back and look at the tape when we had other guys on and talk about the Penguins. Wasn't a big Erik Karlsson guy. You know, when you're scoring points and you're putting up points with Erik Karlsson, it makes up for the lack of defense that he puts out on the ice. Okay, you make that trade. You go out and you try and cobble this bottom six here that has had issues for years, point producing and just keeping guys in on the forecheck. It's been really difficult because I think in years past, and even this year, the bottom six gets pinned in their own zone, and then you have to ask a 87 or 71 to go and dig them out and then go push the puck up the ice. That's been a problem. Mike Sullivan, This year, it just looks like guys have just kind of given up. The message has kind of gotten a little dull. Some guys just aren't back-checking. Like the Mikael Granlund goal against San Jose is a perfect example. Mikael Granlund, from his own dot in his defensive zone, beats two or three forwards into the offensive zone and sneaks back door. There was no back-check. There was just no effort going back. So when that happens, and it's happened multiple times here, that's a big red flag in terms of coaching. Look, I cut a lot of slack with Mike Sullivan here because he is, you know, cup champion, USA hockey guy, like known, renowned head coach. And it just feels like we're starting to get to the end of the rope here. And I don't know how much time he's got left. I don't know if Fenway wants to keep him around because it's the name quality and we're here. It just feels like the message is starting to go stale. And I like both guys. I obviously have issues with each of them, but I respect them enough to be like, you know what, these guys deserve a job. It's just, I don't know if here, look, Dubas isn't going anywhere, but Mike Sullivan's definitely on thin ice, especially with the effort being shown.
I'll start with Sullivan. It's a really interesting situation with him because he still has 3 years left on his contract. And I can tell you this, the big three in Pittsburgh, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, they adore Mike Sullivan. Chris Letang even told me last year, the three of us never want to play for another coach. He's our guy. And I know that's true for all three of them. And those three have a lot of power. The Penguins are different than other franchises. The Penguins have always been controlled by their superstars. Started with Mario and Jágr. If they wanted to coach fire, they did it. If they have all the power. Now, Crosby's not one to flex his muscle in that regard the way Mario and Jágr were. But everybody knows how much he loves Mike Sullivan. And ownership loves Mike Sullivan. The Fenway guys, they're from Boston. He's a Boston guy. Like, I had somebody in the organization tell me he's their Belichick. They're never going to fire him. So when you look at it, they don't look like a well-coached team. Clearly, they look stale. It looks like the message isn't getting through. And I think most coaches in the situation would have been fired by now, no question. I'm not so sure that he's going to be. Wouldn't shock me. But I don't think he's just going to resign one day and go find another job. But we all know he could. The New Jersey Devils wanted him last year. Trust me, they wanted him. That could have been arranged. He didn't want to go because he is so loyal to Crosby. He just is. And he wants to kind of see this thing through and be the guy when a new wave of talent comes along and still be the guy. I don't know that he will or not. But that brings us to Kyle Dubas. I think Dubas wants to completely blow this team up and rebuild. I truly believe that. I think that's what appeals to him. I think he loves the scouting aspect of the job, finding young players. I really do. The problem he ran into when he took the job a year and a half ago was you still had Crosby and Malkin and Letang. And those guys still want to win. And I think there's a pressure, even if you're Kyle Dubas, you're a powerful guy, you're making $6 million a year or whatever. That's still Sidney Crosby sitting in the room with you telling you, like, we can still win. You just got to get us certain players, right? So you go get Erik Karlsson. He's been a disaster. He's been terrible. I can't emphasize enough how bad he has been. You give Tristan Jarry a 5-year contract. He's been so bad, he got sent to Wilkes-Barre for a couple of weeks earlier this year. And here's the stat of the year in the NHL, in my opinion. Tristan Jarry's played 6 games. He's allowed the first goal on the first shot in 4 of his 6 games. It's unbelievable. He's been a disaster as well. And the Ryan Graves contract that Dubas gave was outrageous. He's got 4 years left. The guy's terrible. So Dubas tried to ride the fence. He tried to do what Ron Hextall did. We'll kind of replenish the farm system on the side, but we're still going to spend at the cap and still bring in guys and try to win now. And it's almost impossible to do it that way. And it just finally caught up because as great as Crosby still is, and as great as Malkin still is, they're not so great that they can carry a bad team anymore. And this is a bad team. This could be a bottom five team even with those guys.
You know, you mentioned the goaltending. Let's get into it here. And, you know, I've seen a couple tweets where it's like hashtag first shot, first goal. And I think that's really hilarious as the season goes along. I want to keep a meter and kind of keep a track. It's like, how many times has he tweeted it out? And then at the end of the year with Jarry, just kind of circle and be like, okay, interesting. This is where we're at here. But between Jarry, Nedeljkovic, and Blomqvist, I understand that, you know, not making the first save is really, like, if you're not getting that, it demoralizes a team because you're sitting on the bench being like, how can I win a game here when my guy's not even making the first save? I'll clean up the second and third one, but if you're not making the first one, it's really difficult. But then on the flip side of it too, when you're allowing guys to walk down Broad Street here and just shoot the puck, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, why is he letting in that first goal? Oh, because I didn't cut the angle down because he's all of a sudden he's in on the sweet spot around the dot and he's got a prime shooting, you know, grade A shooting chance. So it's a combination of both between the goaltenders aren't making the first save, but yet the defense isn't exactly helping the situation either. So it's a catch 22, and a lot of people are ragging on Jarry, and, you know, rightfully so. He's got his own, you know, beef I can deal with here. Blomqvist, I've seen flashes where I'm like, hey, this could be a guy going forward. Nedeljkovic, I think, is just a placeholder right now. But the defense isn't helping. I mean, prime example, last night, the first goal with Nino Niederreiter. What is the transition game? You're going for a reverse, then Erik Karlsson does a flyby, communicating with the winger, go pick up the puck in the corner. All of a sudden, he picks it up off the wall, and boom, it's out in the slot here, and Nino scores. So how can I blame Jarry for that when the defense isn't making the proper reads? So, like I said, it's a catch-22. I'd love to be, it's all on Jarry. He should have gotten the contract. No, but the defense is not helping him. When you've got guys like Ryan Graves who aren't making hits in the corners and letting guys walk around you, Erik Karlsson, just out to lunch in the defensive zone. And the points aren't coming, so it's really hard to make up for that. Like, I love Erik Karlsson. It's just, it's not, I'm trying to cut him a little bit of slack here. But at the same time, you know, the only defenseman I really have faith in is the guy they just called up and Owen Pickering. Like, he's the only guy that looks competent right now. Even Peterson's just like, it's a real frustration because even some, when you don't have a back check, it doesn't activate your defenseman to hold the blue line. When you can't have proper wing play, it's not going to allow you for first outlet passes. So it's just really sloppy as it gets in this defensive zone. And I know I went on a little rant. It's just, it blows my mind when I sit there and watch that play.
There's a lot to unpack. And I often have said this year, I don't know how to gauge the Penguins goaltending. I don't, because this is literally the worst defensive team in the league that's playing in front of them. They have given up more odd man rushes than any other team in the league by a pretty substantial margin. They're just horrible in their own zone. So I feel for their goaltenders, and I'll go through each of them. Joel Blomqvist is a good prospect. He's back in Wilkes-Barre now. He's been their best goaltender this season when he played. He's clearly ready, or just about ready, to be an NHL goalie. I really think they don't want to play him behind this team all season and just destroy his confidence. I think that's part of the issue here. Alex Nedeljkovic, he's a good backup. That's what he is. He's okay, but he's just okay. Tristan Jarry. Tristan has a lot of talent. I mean, I always have said, in terms of physical talent, I think he's a top 10 goalie. He's big, he's athletic, he handles the puck really well, and he can do everything. It's just all mental with him. And he just feels like a shattered goaltender right now. Give up the 4 out of 6 first shots of the game go in. I know last night's really wasn't his fault, but still, that tells you a lot, I think, about where he is. And he's given up a lot of bad goals this season, like really, really bad goals at the wrong time. So they're going to let him play right now just to try to see what's there and if he can be salvaged, essentially. And I don't blame them, because you don't really want to throw Blomqvist in every night behind this team. And Nedeljkovic, we know what he is. So maybe Jarry starts playing better. Great. If he does, maybe you can trade him next summer for something. I doubt it, but. You know, that always becomes enhanced if he can play better. At least he might have a chance. But this Penguins defensive team, Erik Karlsson in his own zone, like, he wasn't good last year, but you don't really expect him to be. He's not a shutdown defenseman. He's been horrendous this season, and even worse to me. Like, I knew there were going to be nights when Karlsson was bad in the defensive zone. He's not producing offensively at all. That's to me even the bigger red flag with him. He's always been able to do that. He's been terrible. Chris Letang has been almost as bad in the defensive zone. Those are your two big guys on the blue line. Those are the guys making all the money, getting all the minutes, and they've been massive liabilities. Marcus Pettersson's a good player who's just had a bad start to the season. And I also think when you're playing with Karlsson or Letang all the time, that's a lot of pressure on a defenseman. It just is. So, you know, Ryan Graves, you know, he's actually been better this season, which is not to say that he's been good, because he hasn't been. Ryan Shea is just kind of a guy. I like Jack St. Ivan. He's okay. Matt Grizzluck's been terrible, who they brought in from Boston. He's really struggled. You're right. Owen Pickering, who's a first-round pick 2 years ago, they love this kid. He's a wonderful kid. Really works hard. He's been excellent in his first 3 NHL games. He's got a big wingspan. He reminds me of a Pettersson or Brian Dumoulin type. You know, he's got the big wingspan. He's a defensive first guy. He's really smart. No reason to send him back to Wilkes-Barre, in my opinion. He needs to play, because in terms of goal prevention, this team needs all the help it can get.
I think the biggest thing with Pickering, and I want to focus on one positive here, especially on this blue line, because we've been so negative here in the first part of the show. With Pickering, it's good puck movement. Like, I've seen him make solid exit passes. He's been, and the biggest thing for me is that he's been strong in front of the net. You mentioned big wingspan. He's got a great stick reach where you can have stick on puck pretty much anywhere with him. And his body positioning for a young defenseman isn't horrible. Like, for guys to come up from the minors into the NHL, sometimes you see guys get caught out of place and you're like, oh, okay, like, you got to be here versus here. Like, it's just a step quicker from the A to the NHL. And he's, for the most part, his body positioning has been good through the sample size that I've seen. Like, this is something where I think you can build off of, and a kid that can be a good top 4 guy for an organization that needs it, because Karlsson and Letang are not going to be around forever. They're definitely on the back nine of their careers. This is someone that you can, as long as his development is, you know, taken to the next step can be a pillar on your blue line that you can build around. I've thoroughly enjoyed his first couple games here in the NHL.
Yeah, I think he can too. It's funny, after he was drafted, he dealt with some injury issues. And, you know, some people, I don't want to say in the organization, but some people just around the league kind of got down on him. And I heard a lot of, I know a lot of the analytics people just didn't like him. They didn't think he was going to be any good. Like, I don't think he's going to be a star. He's never going to be the guy to put up offensive numbers, really. But can he be that top four defenseman who plays with a more offensive-minded guy moving forward? Absolutely, he can. And I hockey's filled with great people. You always hear, oh, hockey players are so nice. And they are. But he's like, he's a great kid. Like, he works his tail off. Everybody loves him. He's just got a kind of maturity about him for only being 20 years old. I don't know that he'll be a star, but I think he's going to be a really good defenseman for them. And with a Harrison Brunick, their second round pick this year, he's only 18. They love him. He came pretty close to making a team out of training camp. That's how good he was. And he just broke his wrist in the Western Hockey League. He'll be out a while, but they really love him. So in those two, they might have a couple of defensemen to kind of, you know, use as building blocks, and they need that because they don't have much in the system, as everybody knows. But Pickering, yeah, he's not necessarily going to wow you, but he's exactly what they need. He's a good defensive player who's just going to keep getting better.
And the energy you talk about, that's infectious, because you walk in the gym, boom, he's there at 7 in the morning working out. Boom, he's doing this. Like, you say that, yeah. And you're like, I wanted to be just as good as him. And, you know, for older guys like Sid Malkin, be like, hey, this kid's working his tail off. He wants to take it to the next level. That's how you build a culture.
And don't think they don't notice it, because I promise you they do. Over the years, there's guys they like more than others, and it's the ones who were really committed to making themselves better players. I'm telling you, the big guys always notice that, and they love this kid.
See, we actually have a silver lining to the season for the Pens here. And let's talk about the forward core here, because obviously this bottom six is a little bit of a nightmare. Top six is all over the place. I do want to touch on Sid here as we open it up, because look, Sid is still he's still playing fine in the offensive zone. I think when you look at defensively and neutral zone wise, there's a little bit of a question mark. I think some of the data is in the heat map have really started to show, like, with him on the ice, with him off the ice, it's kind of like, okay, maybe he's, like, you can see maybe a leakage here. Maybe we're starting to take a step back. Like, maybe it's just not, maybe he's losing a little bit of foot speed, but he's still got the body position. He's still got, obviously, the sights to make some of these incredible passes. It's just, what have you seen, seeing him day in and day out defensively? Is there really a question mark here about his defensive game?
A lot of people have asked me that, and the numbers are what they are. I sense that Crosby and his line are basically pushing too hard for offense, knowing that this team is limited offensively. I think Crosby in particular is taking chances that he hasn't taken before, throwing some dangerous passes, maybe looking for a stretch pass instead of just staying in his own zone, stuff he doesn't usually do. He doesn't cheat the game. Ever. I will keep the identity of the coach to myself, but I had a coach tell me, you know, if Crosby cheated the game as much as Ovechkin cheats the game, do you know how many more goals he would have? And I was like, yeah, maybe. I never really looked at it that way. But you know, that's never been Sid's thing. Sid's been the greatest two-way player of his time, I think. But yeah, I just don't think he's been real good through almost 2 months, at least for his standard. He hasn't been terrible. First five or six games, he did not look himself. And that often happens with him. He's not always very good in October, but usually he gets hot. And he did, excuse me, is that the, I guess it was early November, he really got hot, scored a bunch of goals for a week or two, looked like Sid. And now all of a sudden, the last week or so, he doesn't quite look himself again. So why is that? Listen, he's 37. He's going to slow down at some point. Maybe there's some regression taking place. Doesn't have Jake Ensel with him anymore. And Sid and Jake were peanut butter and jelly. I mean, they had a telepathy on the ice that was just kind of different. His favorite winger, Brian Rust, missed a good chunk of time. They've got Anthony Beauvillier on his left wing. God bless him. He's got six goals. He's been good, but is he really a top line winger? No. So, and the power play still, it might be better than last year, but it's still not all that good. So I just think Crosby has not been himself. I just think he's trying to do too much. He knows this team isn't good. He's trying to force offense, I think, at times when it's not there. And I hate to keep bringing this up, He's on the ice with Erik Karlsson a lot, and that's not going to help anybody's defensive numbers or defensive metrics, I assure you. But I'm not trying to – I actually like Erik a lot on a personal level. I appreciate that he's a Hall of Famer. I can't emphasize how bad he's been. He's been extraordinarily bad. That is not helping anybody that he's on the ice with.
Erik Karlsson throughout his career, I just want to reiterate this. He's been a great dude. Like, from what he's been through with in Ottawa, San Jose, he's been fantastic. It's just when you sit and watch the product this year, it's tough not to criticize. And look, if he ever listens to this, look, we love you, buddy. We hope you take that next step when you get back there to what you were. It's just, it's hard to watch here in Pittsburgh, and you have to try and pin something on it. And when you work in professional sports, this is what happens. That also said, you know, it said it's unbelievable how good he's been for this long. And for his standards, like, he's still up there. It's just when you're starting to see a little bit of a dip here, especially back check, defensive zone, neutral zone, it kind of raises a question. It has to be asked. That also said, you know, I hinted at the bottom six here. You obviously try and bring Kevin Hazen and Jeff Carter out. You bring in, you know, a couple of retool guys. It's just, you know, Puljujarvi's getting more run here. Nieto's getting more run. What have you thought of this bottom six? Because for the last 2 years, when I sit and watch the Pens, it's just get hemmed in the defensive zone, maybe get it out to the neutral zone. Okay, 87-71, come bail us out. You know, Brian Rusko, skate it out. Let's figure this out here. What have you thought of the bottom six this season?
It's not a real pretty picture. The one guy who's been better than anyone else, especially recently, is Jesse Puljujärvi, who's actually been really good. And he's a guy, like, listen, he's been a big tease his whole career, right? He's always got the great analytics. He's the fourth overall pick. And I always say about him, he just looks the part. He's big. He's fast. He's got that long reach. Like, he can do a lot of things. He just never scores goals. That's always the problem with him. He has, I think he's got 3 or 4 goals. He's done some things, though. He has been effective almost every night. And the Penguins have moved Drew O'Connor to third line center with Puljujärvi, and that line has been pretty good the 3 games they've been together. I'm a big Drew O'Connor fan, much like Puljujärvi. He's big, he's fast, he looks the part, he's really good defensively, and the goal scoring touch, like, really started to come last year. It's been stale this year. I think he's a player, though. I really do. So they might have something with those two on the third line. They might just leave them together. The rest of the bottom six, though, Blake Lizotte's had 2 concussions, and I don't know how much he's going to bring to the table. Nola Chari is a warrior. He blocks shots. He's a good penalty killer, but he's so slow, and he only brings so much. Kevin Hayes actually had a decent start. He's been out with an injury for a couple of weeks, very much on the downside of his career. He just another guy who looks so slow on the ice, and that's one thing with the Penguins. When you go back to, you know, 2016 and 2017, when they won their back-to-back cups, they were without question the fastest team in the league those 2 years. And they've got to be one of the slowest now. It's so striking. Like, my girlfriend was watching a game the other day. She says, they look so slow. I said, yes, you are absolutely right. They are. You notice it when you see them play. Like, they absolutely are slow. And the bottom six in particular, when especially against certain teams. Like, when you see, we were in Edmonton a couple of weeks ago, it was like, just to see it in person, how fast they, not just McDavid, just the whole team, how fast they were compared to the Penguins. Like, it was like teams playing 2 different sports. And the bottom six is, I think, is where you especially know that the top six, there's still a lot of talent there. There's still some guys who can skate. The bottom six, it's just, it's guys I respect. They play the game. Nola Char, he plays so hard. He blocks shots. He's a good team guy. There's just no foot speed there. And the way the NHL has gone in the last 5 years, I mean, speed, speed, speed. And the best teams all have it. And the Penguins clearly don't.
I mean, even last night versus the Winnipeg Jets here, it was, especially even on the power play, trying to stop them on his own entry. It was like, bing, bing, bing. Okay, all of a sudden we're set up. Like, whoa, where did all that speed come from? And look, Winnipeg's a fast team. Like, they may not have the foot speed, but, like, boom, they're making quick decisions mentally and the puck's just flying around. And you just don't see that with Pittsburgh right now. But you hinted at O'Connor, you hinted at Puljujärvi, 2 massive guys, good skating, like I said, good size, good physicality when you want. Jesse Puljujärvi, I've always been begging for him, like, go to the net. Just go to the net a little bit more with determination. You'll score more, and you're starting to see that a little bit. Him going to the far post, scoring backdoor earlier in the week. And look, O'Connor is someone I can play in pretty much any situation, any part of my line. He's someone you want on your team. And for personal notes, he's a local kid too, so I'm always rooting for him. You need guys like that to build around. You need to find bargain bin items that come in and play in your bottom six. Like Florida, the last 2 to 3 years, Zito has gone into the bargain bin and made it work. Like, if you want to win, you got to go out and get that. And I think if you can find an O'Connor and a Puljujarvi, especially Puljujarvi, who be a lot of people have been waiting on for a little bit here, it's good to see these guys in Pittsburgh trying to find these players.
Yeah, it is. And O'Connor is an interesting case. You mentioned he's a local kid. Great kid, by the way. One of my favorites on the team. Everybody loves Drew. Believe it or not, he's been around long enough. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season. And he could make some money on the open market. There's a lot of teams that would love to have him. But if you're the Penguins, like, you don't want to lose him. He's one of the only good young players you have. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out. I would love to see them keep him, though, because he's so versatile. He can play center. He can play wing. You can play him. And he played on Crosby's line the last month of the season last year, and he did really well. He had 6 goals in the last 12 games of the season, even though I actually kind of like him at center better, I think. So he's the kind of guy you need more of. And Puljujarvi, that was, I think, a really intelligent signing by Kyle Dubas. I know people have given him a lot of crap, and he's made some mistakes, which he'll admit. Puljujarvi, though, to pick him up, you know, after he had hip surgery, he was not the same, double hip surgery. He wasn't the same player last season. Then we saw him in September at training camp. It's like, whoa, who's this guy? He can fly. So that was a good signing. That they need young guys who play cheap, quite frankly. And that's been their biggest problem, because for years and years and years, going back to Jim Rutherford and then Ron Hextall, all they've done is trade prospects and trade draft picks. And this is what happens. Well, we all knew this time was coming. But, you know, when you don't have anyone left in your system, you know, that's what happens. And I, you know, one criticism of Mike Sullivan, and I understand people criticizing him and thinking he should be out. Maybe that is the right move. But one criticism of him that I think has always been unfair is when people say that he never plays young players or never gives them a chance. I think he just thinks most of the young players he's had the last few years aren't any good. And I mean, that, like, in 2016, he sure didn't have a problem with Brian Rust and Connor Sherry and Tom Kunackle and Matt Murray playing. And the next year, he sure didn't have a problem with Jake Guentzel playing as a rookie. Now he's got Valtteri Puustinen to work with. You know, I mean, he just doesn't have that much young talent. So I think he would love to have some young players. I wouldn't be shocked if Pickering sticks around. I think he's welcoming that now, but there's only been so many good young players. And in Puljujärvi is still pretty young, and O'Connor, a couple of guys in their mid-20s. Maybe they have something that could ignite their bottom six a little bit, because, God, they need something.
You need something, and like I said, finding those guys in the bargain bin at cheap, and development isn't linear. Like, double hip surgery, it is so difficult. There's so many people in their career that were trying to make it, that played in the USHL, that played in the NHL. Shoulders and hips went, and that was it. And if for guys to come back from that, it's really impressive here. So my last question to you is here. Given where this team is at and this organization is at, can it get much worse? Like, we're seeing, it's getting ugly right now, and we're at, what, Thanksgiving? Like, how much more can Pens fans stomach this?
It's going to be a long year. I don't see any other way around it. I think there's going to be a lot of empty seats at PPG Paints Arena. And God forbid if Crosby would get hurt. I mean, if Crosby gets hurt, this is probably one of the three worst teams in the league. I really believe that. Maybe not on paper, but given the way they've played and the goaltending issues and the defense issues, the best thing for the Penguins at this point is probably to just have a bad season and hope some of the Penguins draft lottery magic shows up as it has in the past. And, you know, maybe the next couple of years you get a top five pick or two, and you can really start to rebuild. I don't think there's any way around it. And the Penguins don't like using that word. You'll never hear Kyle Dubas or Mike Sullivan use the word rebuild. That just won't do it. But I think they should. And I think the fan base would embrace it. This is a really intelligent fan base. They see the writing on the wall here. And the most important thing for a fan base is to have hope. You got to have hope. And right now there's no hope. They've won their cups. It's been a great run. These guys are beloved. You know, Crosby's one goal away from number 600. I hope he does it at home. It'll be a great scene. But there's no hope for this team right now. And when you say, hey, we're rebuilding, and you start bringing in young guys, and you start getting those high draft picks, and you start, you know, bringing in prospects and trading out older guys, that gives a fan base hope. And that's what they need to do right now, in my opinion. I think they need to be more transparent about it, because if you know anything about hockey, you watch this team for 5 minutes and you know they're really bad.
The biggest mistake this organization can make is trying to do a Band-Aid fix with duct tape on the wings with this team right now. It's either rip it off and just do it. And look, sometimes just doing it, it might not work. Like, we've seen Buffalo rebuild for 15 years here. We saw Carolina do it forever. So there is risk to it.
But the Rangers and Kings did it very quickly and very effectively. Like, it can happen. And one thing I want to add, I said I think the fans would be behind it. I know Crosby and Malkin well enough. I actually think they'd be okay with it too. I think there's a fear of, oh, they still want to win. Well, of course they want to win. They're not stupid. They know they're not going to win with this team. Crosby in particular, he wants to play a few more years. He would love to be 40-year-old Sid and ushering in a bunch of young kids and showing them the way. I really think that appeals to him, and to maybe be on a team that gets good again before he hangs them up. So the sooner you start that process, to me, the better.
Couldn't agree more. And the other thing is that to the people asking and sitting around being like, oh, is Sid going to get traded? Is Malkin going to get traded? Like, no way. Like, these guys are not going anywhere. I see rumors on Twitter be like, oh, he should be on the Avalanche. Like, he's not getting traded. Like, he's got full autonomy here.
It's always our friends in Canada, too, that always like to start that. They want him to play in a Canadian market so bad it just drives them nuts. I mean, listen, you could make an argument it'd be the best thing for a Penguins rebuild, because obviously he would bring back an enormous return. He doesn't want to play anywhere else. He's made it very clear. His hockey heroes in life are Steve Yzerman and Mario Lemieux, two guys who only played for one franchise. That really appeals to him. Malkin doesn't want to go anywhere either. I really think Gino retires after next year anyway, when his contract is up. Sid might play a few more years, but they're Penguins. They just want to stick around. And I would throw Brian Rust into that too. Like, Brian Rust is a great Penguin who is loyal. And he told me at the end of last season, he said, I want to stick around until we're good again. I don't care how long it takes. There's a few of us that still want to be here that want to show the young kids the way. So that's the plan. But I think they need to, you know, start doing that as soon as possible. They have a lot of untradeable contracts and some no trade clauses. That's tough, but there's still some stuff Kyle Dubas can do, and I really think Marcus Patterson, Ricard Raquel, guys like that, they're not going to be around Pittsburgh much longer.
Josh, thank you so much for the time here. We're going to wrap it up here. We're going to give you a couple seconds to plug your work, where the fans can find you, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon.
Sure, yeah, just come to theathletic.com and click on the Pittsburgh Penguins logo. You can read all my articles, and I'm on Twitter. I think my name's Josh Yoey _PGH, something like that. So, you know, I'm always around, but I appreciate the time on your show today. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To catch all the latest, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at The Hockey 411. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.